she made her way to Jesus. She stumbled through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger. Heard folks whisper, there's no place here for kind. Still, all she came through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she knelt before his feet. Though she spoke no words, everything she said. With my tears, and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me, and you don't know. Was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I found, until the day when Jesus came to me. Filled my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. And I've come to pour my like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears. I try them with my hair.
Thank you so much. Now, before I get started and I forget to say something, I've got something important that I want to say. And I do want to say thank you. Brother Lester doesn't know me, aside from Bob and Patty. I don't know if anybody else knows me today. But from time to time, as you've prayed for missionaries, you were praying for somebody like me. from time to time when you've given money, that money has gone to help somebody like me. From time to time, whenever you've sent over for projects, you didn't know me, but it was a guy like me. And I guess I'd like to speak as a Southern Baptist missionary, if you'd allow me, this morning. I am here with Bob and Patty. Not just because I'm here with Bob and Patty, but I would like to share maybe a personal word about that. My wife and I, Terry, we went to Moscow, Russia about 15 years ago. At the end of the first year, we went to McDonald's. We had four small children, and that was a treat for us, was to go to McDonald's in Moscow. We didn't go there that often. And on that particular day, as we went to McDonald's, one of our twin daughters, her name's Rachel, she was a small child, so please, if you can understand my heart, if I mess up on my words here, she ran across to the table. She wasn't doing anything wrong. It's not like she was running through McDonald's and she wasn't being naughty. McDonald's hadn't done anything wrong. That day had been a little bit rainy, I think, perhaps, or for whatever reason, they had kind of mopped the floors a little bit. Rachel didn't do anything wrong. McDonald's didn't do anything wrong, but she slipped. And as she slipped, she fell against one of those chairs that was bolted into the floor. And have you seen somebody, maybe you might be one of these people here in the audience today, they've got a little crease on the side of their eye because that's a real sensitive place that if you hit that, it splits open easily. Well, our little Rachel, she hit the side of the chair. It split open like that. And I had to take her to an emergency room there in Moscow. And they sewed her up. Now, folks, here's the point of my story as a dad. I never had to wonder, do I have the money to take my daughter to get her sewn up? I never had to ask anybody in any Southern Baptist church, would you please give me enough money so that if my kid falls down and gets hurt, she's taken care of? If you understand my heart, one of the blessings of being a Southern Baptist missionary is that I get the opportunity to see projects and I get to see evangelism things and I get to see Bible distributions. Thank you for giving money for stuff like that. But also as a dad, you know, kids fall down in America, kids fall down in Russia. And any time that my children during these past 15 years, any time that they ever had a need, I didn't have to worry about it. Because folks just like you, even though you didn't know me, when you're giving to help support Southern Baptist missionaries, you help the dad, just like me, be able to take care of his little girl. So before I say anything else, I wanted to say, Brother Lester, thank you to you for letting me share this morning. Thanks, Bob, for letting me come. And thank all of you for taking care of somebody like me, even when you didn't know me. So I had something important that I wanted to say so that I didn't forget it before I got going. Now, Bob and I did know each other in high school. Bob and I were roommates in college. Bob and I both graduated from Oklahoma Baptist University. Bob and I had a lot of adventures together. And I'm glad that Bob Grexton was my roommate. There are many things in my life that I'm glad about. And this morning, I would like to share some of those things that I'm glad about. Now, after I graduated from high school, and then after I went to college, graduated from Oklahoma Baptist University on a Saturday. Very next day, Sunday, I married a young lady named Terry Ann Halliger. She became Terry Ann Tarleton. Very next day, at the end of that summer, Terry and I moved out to Louisville, Kentucky, so that I could go to Southern Seminary. As I was going through seminary, I was called to a church. One time, and I don't remember what time it was exactly, but one time I was out on a visitation in the hospital. And as I was out on the visitation in the hospital, I came back, about to leave the room. This lady followed me out into the hallway. I don't remember exactly, but her great aunt, I believe, was the other lady in the hospital room. So she came out, she said, Pastor, would you come back in and visit with, I think she said, my great aunt. And I had time, and I said, oh, okay. So Brother Lester, I went back in the room. And it was a strange experience for me, because I was a younger guy in those days. I was pastoring, visiting, and this was an older lady. And as I was visiting with her, it's like she Brother Lester, she wouldn't look at me. She would just kind of, she'd kind of turn her eyes and then just kind of, almost like, you know, almost, when you're talking to a little child sometime and they're a little bit embarrassed and they kind of giggle and they kind of look at you and then they turn around and look and turn and look and turn. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, but we finished up. We had the visit. I went out in the hallway. The other lady, I guess, was her great niece, followed me, and she said, "Oh, Pastor, thank you so much. That meant so much for my great aunt." And I said, "Well, you know, I was there visiting my church member. Why did your, you know, why did you stop me?" And she said, "Well, we're not exactly sure what's wrong with my great aunt. And when you came in, she thinks you're the Vice President of the United States." And when she saw you praying with that lady, she said, "Maybe he'll pray with me. Maybe he'll pray with me." So you don't know me, but who knows? I said, "Well, which Vice President?" She said, "I have no idea." Thanks for letting me come here. Even though you don't know who I am. Now, maybe you've also heard the story about the young guy who wanted to go out on the date with the young lady for the first time. His brother Lester told this story, Bob, and the young guy goes to the local drugstore, when you still did this in those days, to buy a box of chocolate. Anybody remember those days when you could buy a box of fancy chocolate at the drugstore? So this young guy goes and he says, "Does Brother Lester already told this story?" "No, not so far." This young guy goes in and he tells the pharmacist, "I'd like to buy 3 1-pound boxes of chocolate." And the pharmacist says, "Well, son, I could sell you that, but it's a lot cheaper if I sold you 1 5-pound box." And the young guy said, "Well, it might be cheaper, but I've got a plan." And he said, "Well, what's your plan?" He said, "Well, my plan is this. First date, I'm going to meet this young lady. As we're driving to the movie, I'm going to reach over and see if she'll let me hold her hand. And if she lets me hold her hand, I'm going to pull out that first box of chocolate candy and give it to her." And the guy smiled and he said, "Okay, I understand." And then what? He said, "Well, we're going to the movie. So I'm thinking that when we're in the movie, I'm going to put my arm up around this young lady. And if she doesn't slap my arm back, I'm going to give her that second box of chocolate." And the guy smiled and said, "Okay." And the third box, he said, "Well, you know, I'm going to take her home and I'm going to walk her up to the front door. And when I take her up to the front door, if things have been going really well, I'm thinking, you know, I'm just going to maybe kind of lean in and see if, you know, maybe she'll give me a little smooch. And if she does, I'll give her the third box of chocolate." And the older guy says, "Well, son, okay, I understand your plan." So he sold him the boxes of chocolate. Well, the young guy, he goes out on the date. Now, as he went out on the date, though, he had to have dinner at the young lady's home. So as they were having dinner there at the young lady's home, the father called upon the young man and said, "Would you please lead us in a word of prayer before we have our meal?" Oh, my goodness. I mean, this young man, he went into this prayer that was, it was amazing. He was praying about, you know, missionaries, and he was praying about peace in the world, and he was praying about eliminating world hunger, and oh, it was a prayer just unbelievable. Whenever the young man said amen, everybody just sat there in stunned silence. And in fact, they went on and they had the meal, and nobody knew how to respond. And so they finally, the young man and the young girl, they walked out the door to go on their first date. And as they were walking out, the young lady turned around and she said, "You never told me that you were so religious." And he said, "You never told me that your dad was the local pharmacist." Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar passage for some. For others, this perhaps could be the first time that you've seen it today. But Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. There are several things that I'm glad about today. And I don't know what Bob has shared about me. I don't know what you've heard or haven't heard. But this passage has been important to me for quite some time. And today, I would like to talk about several things that I'm glad about. It's been my opportunity, it's been my privilege to be able to live in Moscow, Russia for 15 years. You have helped me, even though you didn't know me, you've helped me to be able to do that. And during the past 15 years, there have been some really wonderful times of serving in Russia. My particular job, Brother Lester, I get to kind of oversee the work of a lot of our missionaries all across the country of Russia. And so I've had the opportunity to go to different parts of Russia, and I've had the opportunity just to see some wonderful things up in the Arctic Circle, to see some reindeer herders and see how people have shared the gospel up there. Out in the Far East to participate in some different campaigns and events and different projects. And the Lord's given me the blessing to see some lots of wonderful things. We have four children. And a son, Adam, who just graduated from Union University. A daughter, Anna, who's up in Missouri, in Bolivar, Missouri. She's going to be in her third year of college. Rachel and Rebecca, twin daughters, who just graduated from high school there in Moscow. There have been some wonderful times that the Lord has let me participate in during the past 15 years. If Bob has shared this with you or not, though, I'm approaching a holiday that's an anniversary that's very difficult for me. Today's July 26th. Tuesday will be the one-year anniversary of my wife dying there in our apartment in Moscow. It was a Monday morning, July 28th. And she woke up early, and we were scheduled to go to a local facility there and for her to have some checkups done. It seemed like everything was okay. Just needed to do some checkup work and stuff like that. And apparently my wife had what the doctors later called a pulmonary embolism. Apparently it was some kind of a clot, and it hit both of her lungs. And she died there in our apartment. And candidly, folks, this past year has been a tough year for me. To give away my age, it's not that it's a secret, but for some of the young people that, you know, it's, you know, they're just now graduating from high school. I graduated from Choctaw High School in 1978. As I was growing up in Midwest City, I happened to live on the same street with my grandfather. Now, my grandfather was literally a short man, but, you know, to a grandson, oh my goodness, my granddad was just wonderful. He was a great man. You don't have to agree with my grandfather's philosophy, but my grandfather used to say that every man needed to be able to do two things. You don't have to agree with my granddad's philosophy, okay? But as a young guy growing up with granddad nearby, oh man, I wanted to make granddad proud. My granddad's philosophy was that every man needed to know how to swim and ride a horse. So I don't, did you pass the test, men? Can all the men? Can everybody in the room, can you swim and can you ride a horse? Well, 1978 was a great year for me because I graduated from high school and I got to go off to college, went to Oklahoma Baptist University. That summer was also a tough summer, though, because my granddad died in that summer. And there's a funeral, there's a cemetery out in a place called Hera, Oklahoma, not too far from Choctaw, Oklahoma. And we were in the cemetery burying my grandfather. 30 years later, last year, 2008, I was in the same cemetery. And this time I was burying my wife, and Bob and other friends were there with me. It's been a hard folks years. It's been a... Thank you for your patience. It's been a hard year for me. I've got good days and I've got bad days. I got days that I'm okay, and I've got days I'm a mess. And that's just the way it is. But as I read this passage, and as I come back and see that God's Word says that we need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. There are some things in my life that I'm glad about that I'd like to share just for a few moments. When I was growing up in Oklahoma, My mother still lives in the same home where I grew up, 924 North Cedar, Midwest City, Oklahoma. Growing up in Oklahoma, going to things like Falls Creek, attending Nakoma Park First Baptist Church, I'm glad that I had the opportunity to grow up in Oklahoma. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to hear about missions. But there was a disconnect. Now, I don't know if this still happens. I don't know if it ever happened here in Tallala. But sometimes people would say this, "Now be careful what you pray about because God's going to send you to Africa." So we put all this energy into our young people. We tell them to think about missions. We tell them to think about being committed to the Lord. We tell them about, but now you be careful when you pray because you start praying about it and God might send you to Africa. Now I'm glad that one evening I was home and I was talking with my mother. And I said, "Mom, if God called you to Africa, what would be so bad about that?" And Mom said, "Well now, son, if you went to a different country, you'd have to learn a different language, you'd have to learn a different culture, you'd be away from your family, it'd be difficult. But son, if God called you to Africa, it wouldn't be a bad thing to go to Africa. It'd be a good thing to do what God calls you to do." Amen. Moms, I'm glad that I had a mom who gave me some good advice. Now, as I went off to Oklahoma Baptist University, as I was a roommate with Bob Gregston, I'm glad for that experience. Bob and his circle of friends were music majors. I was not. But because of knowing Bob and because of being in that circle of friends, there was this young lady named Terry Ann Halliger who was also a music major. For some reason, I asked if she would, and she said she did, and we did, and it was good for me. I'm glad, though, that she and I had a conversation before we ever got married. At that time, I felt like I was going to be a pastor, Brother Lester, and so Terry knew about that. But I said, "Terry, if God called us to serve in missions, would you be willing to do that?" Terry didn't grow up in a Southern Baptist church. Terry, Bob, and I don't know Patty as much, but Bob knows Terry. This was a sincere question from Terry, Bob. It wasn't, okay? From some people, you would say, "Oh, that's a joke." Terry didn't grow up in Southern Baptist church, and so Terry's question to me was, "Okay, well, if God calls us to missions, do I get to go with you?" Yes, that would be the way it would work. We as husband and wife would go together. She said, "Oh, well, then that's okay with me. Yeah, if God calls us to missions, then sure, I'd be open to that." I'm glad that when I was dating the young lady that would become my wife, we had important conversations. So for what it's worth, if you're thinking about somebody that they might be the one, I can tell you that I'm glad that she and I had some important conversations before we said, "I do." Unfortunately, have you met people? They're married, but they didn't have those important conversations. They're living together, but they're not on the same page. They might physically be in the same house, but it doesn't seem like they're in the same home. I'm glad that I had a mother that gave me some good advice. I'm glad that I had a conversation with a young lady before we said, "I do." Life progressed. I already told you this. We got to go to Louisville, Kentucky. As we got to go to Louisville, Kentucky, as I eventually was a pastor of a church, I had the opportunity to go on a short, I think it was about a two-week mission trip, to Africa. Came back from Africa, okay? The people in the church, "Brother Ed, is this it? Is this it? Are you going to go to Africa?" It was a really nice trip. Everything went well. The people were so nice, got to see different places. Oh my goodness, the stars that you could see in Kenya, Africa. I had heard stories about that. If you ever got someplace that there wasn't electrical lights from cities and power lines and stuff like that. Oh my goodness, the stars that were there and the singing. I don't know about you, but there's just something about the African music and the way that they would sing in their worship services. Oh my, it was great. But God didn't speak to me in that experience. I don't remember how long it was, but sometime afterwards, I came home one Wednesday night from our prayer meeting, and I don't know, Brother Lester, how you do things here, but it was the tradition in our church that we had a Wednesday evening prayer meeting. I came home that evening, and Terry one time said, "We've got to talk." And I said, "Okay, well, you know, we'll talk." And men, you know, sometimes your wife says, "No, we got to talk." "Oh, okay, okay, yeah, all right, yes, yes, okay, okay." You know, it's kind of like, just talk to me with your face, okay? Don't just, okay, we're going to talk here. She said, "Tonight, when you were reading a letter," and it was several weeks, months, I suppose, after I'd come back from Kenya. She said, "Tonight, when you were reading that prayer letter, that prayer request from the missionaries in Kenya, there were some kids playing on the pew behind me. And so I turned around to hush those kids down. But when I turned around, there were no kids there. But God spoke to me and said, 'Terry, pay attention. Someday, you're going to be writing the missionary letters from the mission field.'" I'm glad that God gave that to me and Terry. I'm glad that it wasn't just God calling me to something, but there was that affirmation, there was that confirmation from my wife also. I'm glad that we got to share that experience. Well, we started praying about it. Things were still going well at the church. We were still pastoring there. Things were going along fine. It didn't seem like the right timing. But then the time came, sometime after all of this, that we called the International Mission Board. And we talked to them. And somebody came out and they had dinner with us. And it was a really nice dinner. We just went out to a local restaurant there in Louisville, Kentucky. And they asked us questions. And as we were having that dinner that evening, this one young man, he said, "Now, Ed, where do you think God's calling you to serve as a missionary?" I said, "Well, I really don't know. I thought that you would tell me. I thought that you would say this is where we need to go." He says, "Well, it's not exactly how it works. I mean, you know, we'd like to have some conversations back and forth." I said, "Well, I really don't know." We went on with the dinner. It was a nice dinner. Through the course of the dinner, he came back and he asked me the second time, "Well, now, Ed, if you had to say, though, tonight, where do you think God might be calling you to serve as a missionary? Where do you think maybe he might be calling?" I said, "You know, I really don't know." Okay, well, we finished up the dinner. We went out to the car. They were going to leave. He and his wife were going to drive off in their vehicle. Me and Terry were going to drive off in our car. The third time, this guy turned to me and he said, "Now, Ed, I mean, really, it's just, if you had to say someplace, where do you think maybe God is calling you to serve?" Bob Lester, I do not have an intelligent reason for my answer. Meaning, I can't remember that I read a book. I can't remember that I read someplace in Scripture that the words came to me. Maybe it happened and I just don't remember it. I can't remember watching something on TV. I cannot put a logical reason to my answer. But for some reason that evening, and maybe there was, but I just can't remember. For some reason that evening, the third time, as we're about to drive off, they and their vehicle, us and ours, I said, "Okay, I don't know why, but if I had to say where I think that maybe God's calling us to serve, I'd say Russia." "Oh," he was very pleasant, very nice. Okay, they got in their car and drove off. We got in our car. I sat down. I looked across at Terry. She was crying. And men, I hadn't goofed up. It had been a good evening, guys. You know, I hadn't said anything wrong. I hadn't been inappropriate. You know, there was none of the, you know, that kind of stuff. And she was crying. And I said, what's the matter? And she said, "For a long time now, God has been laying on my heart that we needed to go and serve in Russia. But you're the head of our family, and I wanted to be a submissive wife. I wanted to submit to your spiritual leadership in our family. And so I didn't want to talk to you about it because I didn't want to sway the decision. And another thing that I don't remember, Bob, I don't remember, Lester, I think maybe The only person Terry had told was her mother. But I don't even know if she told her mother. But she said, for a long time, I've been praying about this. And so tonight, when you said to that guy, where are we going to go? Everybody who knows you, the answer is Africa. Those have been conversations in your life. Now, I don't know if Terry repeated that to me that evening, but I mean, that was, if God calls you, where's he going to call you? It's going to be Africa. Talked about that with my mother. Talked about mission service with the young lady that would be on. Had the chance to go to Kenya. Got a letter from missionaries in Africa. When you said Russia, I'm glad for so many things that God's given me in my life. The Bible says that I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. There's things that I just don't understand. But step by step, phase by phase, age by age in my life, God has been faithful to give me what I needed when I needed it. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Recognize that He's there all along. And He will make your paths straight. This last part, sometimes after I say it out loud, I feel a little bit bad, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. There are some paths that I don't want to be on. And this is one of them. I don't want to be on this path that I've been on this past year. There have been some great things. My daughters had a chance in connection with their school to go on a mission trip to Africa. Young girls that grew up in Moscow, Russia, had the chance to go on a mission trip to Africa a second time. One of my daughters was valedictorian of her graduating class, one of my twin daughters. My other twin daughter is just so good to me. They all are. I mean, all my kids are. But my point is, there have been some great times this past year. But to live without Terry is not a path. That I want to be on. And there have been other times in my life that I don't understand it, but I know that I need to recognize that God is with me, even on those days that I don't enjoy so much. And somehow, He will make your paths straight. Now, very quickly, in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 24 and 27, it says that after Jesus, Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27, the Bible says that after Jesus and His disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and they asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt," Jesus said to him. Verse 27. "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours." Now there's a principle here for me. Me and you need to do what we're able to do. And we need to wait for God to do what only God can do. Now, from a logical point of view, they had a situation that they need to solve here. And does this solution make a lot of sense? Now, granted that Peter was a fisherman, that part of the story is okay. And I don't know the literal translation here, but in my mind's eye, it doesn't say throw out a net and catch a mess of fish. Okay, that's what professional fishermen did, I think, in those days. They threw out a great big net of fish, right? and we have, you know, they pull them in, and there'd be the big, and in my mind's eye, in my Bible, and I haven't checked this out, so if somebody does and you find out that I'm incorrect, you know, feel free to correct me, but throw out your line and take the very first fish that you pull up, and the coins that we need, the coin that we need is going to be there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There are times that we need to let God do what only God can do, and we need to be faithful to do what we can do. And if God makes it possible that I can go to a jail ministry service, or if God makes it possible that I can share with somebody at my high school, if God makes it possible that I can go on a trip to New Mexico or wherever, I need to do what God gives me the opportunity to do and trust in God to do what only God can do, like putting a coin in the fish mouth, and that just happens to be the one that we pull out. When Terry and I arrived in Moscow, Russia, we had four children. Technically, the twins were 2 years old. The next daughter was 5 years old, and our son was 7 years old. Terry and I needed to do full-time language. We were on the 22nd floor of an apartment building in Moscow. The night that we arrived, the day that we arrived, as we were moving in, some people were talking to us, and they said, "Oh, you two really need to start praying, because you need to find a nanny that can take care of your children while both of you do full-time language." We were in the 22nd floor of an apartment building in Moscow, Russia. We had no idea who the nanny could be. We didn't even know how to talk to anybody. And they said, "Oh, by the way, there's a downstairs neighbor. Seems like he speaks a little bit of English. You might ask him." We asked him, did he know of anybody who might be able to be a nanny for our children? And he said, "Well, I know a woman. I could help you have a conversation with her." We had a conversation with her. He didn't tell us this at the time, but it turned out to be his mother-in-law. The day came years later. Her name was Rita. The day came later that one of our children said, "You know what? We've got three grandmothers. We've got Grandmother Tarleton, we've got Grandmother Halliger, which is my wife's maiden name, and we've got Grandmother Rita." Now, folks, you've never been to Moscow, Russia, but can you imagine going the first day of your life to the 22nd story of an apartment building, being told that you need to find a nanny, but God's worked it out that it just so happens that of all the millions of people who live in Russia, there happens to be a man right underneath you who happens to speak a little bit of English. And oh, by the way, it turns out that his mother-in-law ends up being somebody that your children will eventually call like their own grandmother. Is God speaking to you about something in your life? You need to do what you can do and wait for God to do what only God can do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Another passage, if we can go there quickly, is Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. Now we know that there came the time when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of disobedience and because of things that they shouldn't have done. But in this passage, it's interesting for me. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 and 18. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. I'm back in America, and so I can do this. How many people in America understand baseball? Thank you. Now see, if you live in a different country and you've got this really good illustration, but nobody ever understands baseball, you know, so in baseball, where do you start? You start home, and then where do you go? First base. Now, how do you get back home if you're playing baseball? You got to make a lot of turns. It might be that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line between A and B, but in baseball, how do you get back home? You got to make a lot of turns. For me, there's a principle here in the scripture also. When Pharaoh let the Israelites go, apparently they could have gone on a much shorter path, but God led them around, and it wasn't necessarily the shortest path. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what it might be for you, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean just on your own understanding. In all of the things that you're facing, try to recognize that God is right there with you. And the Bible says that He will make your paths straight. Or in the margin of my Bible, down in the bottom, it says, or He will direct your paths. Sometimes it is from straight A to B. But sometimes, kind of like in baseball, in order for me to get back home, I'm going to have to make some turns. Thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you for praying for a guy like me, even when you didn't know a guy like me. But as Brother Lester comes and as Bob comes and as they have the time of invitation, I'd like to ask you today, if God is speaking to you, maybe there's a friend in high school that you need to reach out to. Maybe there is a ministry that you need to participate in. Maybe you just need to be a good neighbor. And sometimes it can be hard to be a good neighbor because life happens. It could be that God is calling somebody here, and for no logical reason that they could put in their mind, but they could say, you know, I don't know why God's calling me to do this, but God just laying on my heart, this is what I need to do. As you're here today, if God is speaking to your heart, to the best of your ability, would you do what it is that you can do and trust in God that He will do only what God can do?